What is going on, everybody? Welcome or welcome back to the Side Questing Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Eric, and thank you so much for spending a little bit of your time this week with us, wherever, whenever in time and space you might be. We really appreciate you taking the time out of your week to give us a listen, check in, see how we're doing. It really means a lot to us. This is a really special episode in my heart, and we'll talk about why in just a second here. Some really, really amazing things that just happened. My co-host Tom, he is out today. Not unfortunately, though, because him and his wife just completed the purchase of their new home and are moving into it. So we're really excited. Tom, congratulations. That's really awesome. And they are currently engaged in the most favorite activity that an adult could possibly think of, moving all of your earthly possessions from the place where you used to live to the place where you're now living. I remember when we moved into our house last March, and it was probably my least favorite thing I've ever done in my entire life. Also, you kind of go through all of your possessions when you're moving and you realize, how did I accumulate all of this stuff in my life and why am I hanging on to it? It's really the time when I tried to purge a lot of the things that I just don't need anymore. And for whatever reason now, when Taylor and I first moved into this house, we were like, oh, we have so much space. This is so great. And now a year later, it's like, we don't have space for anything. Where did all this stuff come from? How did we accumulate all of these things? What is going on in my life? I have no idea. It's absolutely ridiculous. And now one of my rooms is just entirely devoted to our Funko Pop collection. So, Tom, hopefully you guys aren't stressing too much with all the housework. Excited to see the home that you guys build together. And we're excited for you to finally get internet back so that you can be back streaming and get back recording these episodes with us. But we understand life stuff comes first and we miss you a lot. Hope you're doing well. So for a couple of reasons that this episode is really special to me. Number one, and this isn't something I normally like to do. I don't normally like to brag about our podcast performance or numbers or how we're doing or anything, but this was a real special one to me. And we recently just passed, according to Anchor, and Anchor is where we host our podcast at. It's a great little hosting site if you're looking to get in for literally no expense to podcasting, for sure. But we recently passed 1,000 listens/downloads. I guess they're kind of the same thing in the podcasting world. We recently just passed 1,000 listens. And when I saw that, finally, I've been keeping an eye on the numbers for a little bit. I normally try not to look at them on my phone or on the computer, just because when you obsess over the numbers, a podcast kind of starts feeling like a job instead of like a passion. And I really do just enjoy talking into the microphone and getting my thoughts out there in the world and just sharing them with people. But I knew this milestone was coming up, so I've been kind of obsessively watching the numbers for the past couple weeks. And over the last, I think it was on Friday, the numbers finally rolled over. Thanks to a little clip, shout out to Brian and Ryan at the List Off podcast. I had the pleasure of being on that show last week. If you didn't get a chance to check it out, you definitely should. But they sent me a small little clip of the episode to post on my feed, and that was the episode, quote unquote, that got us over the 1,000 mark. So thank you guys so much. And I just wanted to take a second to kind of reflect on what that means to me. And I know when Tom gets back, he'll want to talk a little bit about it too. I never thought when I embarked on this podcasting journey, when Tom and I decided to start doing this last December, that we would ever really get here. There was a stretch of time, probably in the middle of summer, around the episodes like 15 to 19, where you know, Tom and I were both under a lot of stress, me especially too. And I didn't feel like the podcast kind of fit anywhere into my life, into my routine, just of everything that was going on. And it was hard to record some of those episodes there in the middle of summer. And I kind of just thought about giving up on it. But you know, just talking to a bunch of friends that I made, you guys out there, and talking a little bit to Tom, we decided to keep powering forward through life things and keep doing the show. And you know, after that, you know, 10, 11 episodes later, we arrived at a kind of, I call it a shadow. I didn't really set any goals for the show, but I kind of set the shadow goal of 1,000 listens before a year, if we ever got to a year. And we smashed that. Our 1 year anniversary will be in December, the first week of December. And we smashed that in the last week of September. So with like 2.5 months or 2 months roughly to go, we beat our shadow goal. And that's with me really not committing the time to the show that I'd really like to. I have spurts where I will promote the show a lot on social media or interact with people, and then I'll have spurts where I just won't for a while, just because life is so busy and it's really the last thing on my mind. But a lot of you guys have been there through thick and thin with everything that's been going on, and really become a part of mine and Tom's life here. So, and that's been insane. I'd just like to say thank you guys so much for that. And you guys know who you are. And I'll definitely list a couple people and shows that have definitely helped us get through the tough times and have been such great friends to us a little bit later in the episode. But just 1,000. I've never done anything or put out anything that's gotten 1,000 views. I used to try and do YouTube stuff. I used to try and do Twitch stuff. And I don't think I ever got to 1,000 views or 1,000 follows or anything like that on any of the stuff that I was doing. So this has been unbelievable. And I know 1,000 compared to a lot of other people is not a lot, but to me, it's a lot. And it does mean a lot. And the show has really come to hold a special place in mine and Tom's heart, because as we've been kind of growing and doing this show together, Tom and I both have been growing and experiencing life changes in our lives this year as well. On top of the pandemic, on top of everything that's been going on in the world, shortly after we started the podcast, I asked my fiance to marry me, and we're getting married next February. And Tom's been going through the unenviable task of trying to find a home during the pandemic when home scarcity is a real thing. And their lives have been changing too. So Tom and I have both gone through a lot of personal growth and a personal life change during the course of these 34, 35 episodes that we've put out. And you guys have really been along for the ride with us. You know, our personal lives, we have wanted the podcast to be just kind of a discussion between Tom and myself about video games, the subject that we love, but we have talked about our personal lives on it. And you guys know what's going on with us. You know that I've been struggling with the wedding planning. You know that Tom's been looking for a house. Work has been crazy for him because he's really been on the front lines of the pandemic for the better part of a year. You guys know those struggles that we've been having and have been there for us every step of the way and offered words of encouragement. And especially me, this has not been the easiest thing for me to do because I'm very self-critical and I'm very harsh of the work that I put out. So I know Keith will understand this. I ask Keith of the Main Quest podcast every week when he listens to the episode, how'd the audio sound? Did the audio sound okay? Because I personally think that every single episode that I put out, the audio sounds like garbage, 100%. I'm never happy with the audio when I put the episode out. But Keith and you guys have responded and say, hey, like the audio sounds really great. I've even had people tell me that I've had a radio voice, which is something that I never really thought or considered that I had. I've always felt that I've just been kind of like bumbling idiot up here, stumbling through my words and screaming things into the microphone. But it's been an incredible experience. And I've met some really amazing friends, and I will definitely call them friends, that I've never met in real life that share the same passion that I do. And I've discovered a bunch of different shows and videos and things that people are creating. And just the community at whole is so creative with putting out episodes and putting out videos and art and all these things that everybody makes. It's absolutely incredible. I've also gained a little bit of perspective and different points of view. If you really want to gain a deeper appreciation of something and any topic that you're listening to podcasts about, you can definitely listen to the big time guys, obviously, and the popular ones are popular for a reason. But if you really want to get a different point of view, if you really want to get a subject from every angle, you know, listen to the smaller guys like us, because listening to smaller podcasts has really provided me with so many different angles of looking at things that I never would have even considered before. It's made me smarter. It's made me appreciate games overall and any topic overall that we're talking about a little bit more. So make sure you go check out your family-friendly neighborhood podcasts, because they have a lot to offer. And there are a lot of really great shows. And I know that people go through the same struggles that I've had. I've had people message me and say, I think my audio is terrible. I think I hate putting out things to be judged on the internet. And I feel you. It's stressful. But at the end of the day, it's really not about those things. People have told me that what they love about the show is that it feels so genuine and that they like the dynamic between Tom and myself. And they like that Tom and I are just kind of just genuine people. We don't try to hide who we are. We wear our hearts on our sleeves. Well, if we don't like something, we'll tell you. If we love something, we'll tell you. And that's kind of my mindset when I come to record an episode every week. And the last couple of weeks and last couple of months have really been difficult because Tom and I have kind of been recording solo episodes just to keep the podcast going, because we just haven't had the time to really record together. And so to have a host or have a friend like Tom, knowing that you have somebody that can pick up the slack when you just can't get to it and keep things going is fantastic. I don't know. I kind of like sidetracked on what I was actually going to be talking about, but I guess the moral and the point I'm trying to make here is thank you so much. Everybody that's been along on this crazy ride. We've met so many great people, so many awesome people, people who have had us on their shows, people who have talked to us on Twitter. It's been unbelievable. And it leaves me speechless sometimes because I constantly always joke about how the internet is a cesspool of scum and villainy, very much like Mos Eisley. You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy, I believe Obi-Wan says. But this experience has definitely proven me wrong. There are so many amazing, great people on the internet that just want to talk about what they love. And that's been incredible. And I've met so many great people that are good friends of mine now and that have amazing shows and do amazing things. So if you dig hard enough and you're willing to talk and find people that share similar interests to you, you will find genuinely good people on the internet. And it's restored my faith a little bit about what the internet can possibly be. So thank you guys so much for everything that has happened in this past year, everything that you guys have done for us, listening and supporting the show. It's difficult for me to talk about just because it's exceeded any expectations that I ever set for this. So with that in mind, I just want to kind of read you some stats about the way the show has been doing, because I've really wanted to share and it's really been awesome. So I believe that we've put out 34 episodes, 35 episodes, if you count the bonus footage that I uploaded from the List Off podcast. So of those episodes, I will read you the top five that people have seemed to love. So number five is episode number 27, Throwing Hands. This is a solo Tom episode where he talks about his love for fighting games. And you can definitely tell by listening to the episode that Tom is very passionate about fighting games. So that's definitely a great one to listen to if you want to get to know a little bit more about Tom. Number four is episode 21, Eric Goes to E3 2017. This was an episode that I put out a few weeks before E3 2021, because I actually had the pleasure of going to E3 2017. It was the first year they opened it to the public. And I talked a little bit about my experiences actually going to the show, being on the show floor and what that was like. So if you're looking to kind of just get a feel of like what it's actually like to be at E3, definitely give that one a listen. That's a good one, too. Number three is season one, episode one of our filler arc series where we talk about anime called The Successor. That was the first season of filler arc, episode one, where we talked about the first three episodes of My Hero Academia. We recently concluded the first season of My Hero Academia on the last episode of filler arc, and we've been meaning to do kind of a wrap-up episode on that so we can go into season two, where we're going to be watching a different season of a different anime. So if you love anime and want to hear about two people who really love My Hero Academia, definitely give that show a listen. Number two is actually the first episode we ever did. It's called Quest Start. And I kind of hate this as number two because I've went back and listened to the first episode and it makes me kind of cringe because it was like Tom and I were still trying to figure out what exactly we wanted the show to be and what we were doing before we just kind of settled on this open form banter style, not really a scripted show. We did a lot of talking about topics that were going on in the community and in the industry. After a few episodes, we abandoned that because we just enjoyed talking about whatever we enjoyed talking about. And the number one episode is episode number 18, the Definitive RPG Guide. You guys really seem to like this one. And everybody, all the nice things that I've pretty much had said about the show have been about this episode in particular. People really seem to enjoy this episode because Tom and I really love RPGs. And we got to talking about several different types of RPGs and different aspects of the genre, Eastern versus Western, JRPGs versus Western RPGs. So that's a really good one. And you guys have told me that's one of your favorite episodes. So whenever people talk to me and say, hey, I'm new to the show, what episode do you recommend? It's normally that one, because that's a pretty good snapshot of what the show is about and who Tom and I are. So that's your top five episodes. We have been listened to in several regions around the world, which this is the most mind-blowing thing to me. We've been listened to in the United States, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, South Korea, Ireland, Portugal, Finland, Germany, France, Lebanon, Mexico, and Estonia. Shout out to Estonia, little Eastern European country. I think it's Eastern European country out there. And that, even more than the 1K listens, blows my mind. I know for a fact that I am friends with a lot of people that listen in the United States, United Kingdom, Canada, and Australia. I've talked to you guys. I know you very well, or at least I think I like to know you very well. But I haven't really heard much from anybody outside of the English-speaking world. So when I looked at this list this morning and saw South Korea, Portugal, Finland, Germany, France, Lebanon, Mexico, and Estonia, I haven't really gotten the chance to interact with you guys one-on-one. But if you can hear me and you understand me, even if you listen to the show only one time, like, thank you so much. That's unbelievable. I can't believe the show that we created is reaching Europe, is reaching the Middle East, is reaching South Korea, is reaching Australia and, you know, the Pacific Islands. That's unbelievable to me. I would never imagine that at all. So thank you guys. That's incredible. And if you're out there, if you're in a different country, reach out to me and let me know you listen to the show, and I'll happily talk to you. And I want to hear your opinions on how I can make the show better. And I want to hear your opinions on video games. Please do that. As far as device breakdown or where people have listened the most, Apple Podcasts, 29%, Spotify, 25%, other 20%, Podcast Addict, 8%, Overcast, 7%, Google Podcasts, 4%, Beyond Pod, 4%, and Pocket Casts, 3%. And I have no idea how my podcast got on some of these platforms, because I don't remember putting them on every platform, but I guess it finds a way that your show will just show up in places you don't expect. And and I say this at the end of every episode, if our show is not somewhere where you prefer to be listening, message me and let me know on Twitter, on Instagram, send me an email, and I will put it where you want so that you can listen to it. So that's just some stats about the show. I just thought I wanted to share that with you guys and just kind of share our journey about just kind of what has happened. It's really hard for me to put this into words, but I know Tom will have a couple things to say when he comes back as well. But from the bottom of my heart, and on behalf of Tom as well, like, thank you guys so much. This has been incredible, and we're going to keep going, and we're planning some changes to the show. We're going to keep making things better. I'm going to keep getting better at editing the audio. We're going to make the best product that we can, so you guys can just come and listen to it. And I don't have any plans to put ads in the show anytime soon. I don't have any plans to do a Patreon or anything like that. I don't want there to be a financial commitment to listening to the show, because I don't expect to make any money off of this. I really want this to be a place where you guys can just come and escape for a little while. You can turn on the SideQuesting podcast and don't have to worry about me shoving, you know, Postmates or gaming chairs or anything down your throat and be like, hey, buy this so I can make money, or use my code so I can make money. I'm not going to do that. You guys should just be able to come and listen to things and escape for a while. That is my primary purpose. And if we decide to put out merch or stickers and stuff and decide to make money that way, maybe we will. I don't know. But as of right now, I don't plan on putting any kind of ads or financial commitments in the episodes right now. It's just not something I have time for, and it's just not something that I want to do yet. So the SideQuesting podcast will always be a bastion of freedom on the internet, is I guess what I'm saying, for sure. But again, thank you guys so much. I can't possibly name everybody, but you guys know who you are, and I would be so bold to say is, like, I love you guys. Like, you guys are awesome, and you guys are making such great things that I in turn have listened to as well. So seriously, keep up the good work, and I hope you look forward to 1,000 more listens of the SideQuesting podcast. I hope you look forward to however much longer this keeps going for, because you guys seem to be enjoying it, and I'm enjoying it as well. Now, let's get into the meat of the episode. We've got some stuff to talk about, guys. It's been a couple weeks since I've been on the air on my own show, but we've got some stuff to talk about, because in that time frame, there have been two pretty big things that have happened. One, we got a PlayStation showcase. I believe that was earlier in September. I'm not sure the exact date on it. 9/9, it looks like it was. So we got a PlayStation showcase that showed off a ton of new current-gen PS5 games. Definitely some surprising announcements. I'm not going to break down everything detail by detail. I'm just going to briefly touch on a couple of things that I thought were great. So, first of all, I got to say that this is pretty bold. To open the show with a teaser announcement for Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic remake, that's pretty huge. That is definitely pretty huge. So, they are remaking that game. And if you listen to the remake episode, I stress very clearly, this is not a remaster. This is a remake. They are remaking Knights of the Old Republic from the ground up. So this is pretty cool. It's ironic that it's being remade on PS5 when I believe it was originally an Xbox exclusive. So that's kind of funny. But as the more I thought about it, and don't get me wrong, I am very excited for this game. I know that the original holds a lot of prestige and importance in people's hearts. This is a big game for a lot of people. I never got to experience it. I've seen it played. I've seen large chunks of it played on the internet, but I've never gotten to play it myself. So I'm very excited to experience it that way. But as I said in the remake episode, remakes are dangerous territory, especially when you're remaking something that is very, very popular. They took chances remaking Final Fantasy VII, and obviously the way that game ended and the way that's going to work, it has some divisions in the community. I, for one, personally enjoyed it just because I don't have as much emotional attachment to Final Fantasy VII as I do 9. This is a similar case. Knights of the Old Republic is a very important game to a lot of people. It's widely regarded as one of the best, if not the best, Star Wars game ever made. Star Wars fans are already very passionate. Star Wars video game fans even more so, especially about this game. So I don't remember. I'm going to see if I can click on this link and see who the poor studio is that is tasked with making this. It's being made by Aspyr, the studio recently responsible for porting other classic BioWare RPGs to mobile. Okay, so they have experience with BioWare IPs. Okay, that's comforting, but Aspyr? Yeah, Aspyr. Spelled with a Y and no E at the end. I doubt that anybody from Aspyr listens to this podcast, but if you do, I'm just going to issue you one word of warning, okay? Please be careful. And this is really to anybody that's considering a remake of a big IP. You got to be careful, for real. If you mess this up, being how passionate Star Wars fans are and video game fans are, this might ruin you for sure. This is a huge game, and if you mess this up and screw it up, like, it's not going to end well for you. Let me tell you that. It's just not going to end well for you. If they had faceplanted with the Final Fantasy VII remake, that would have been a disaster. This is very much in the same vein. You got to be careful when remaking this, and that's all I got to say. I'm very excited for it. I'm excited. We only got a little teaser clip of it, but just you got to be careful when remaking this, definitely. A couple awesome things coming from our friends over at Insomniac, who, by the way, are having a legendary run right now. What with Spider-Man, Miles Morales, Ratchet and Clank. They dropped not one, but two trailers on us for this PlayStation 5 showcase. Spider-Man 2, a follow-up, a true sequel to Spider-Man and Miles Morales, which looks incredible. It looks like there's going to be some co-op functionality between Miles and between Peter, because it shows them fighting together, or maybe you'll be switching off, maybe kind of like GTA style, you'll be switching between characters. That could be very cool. Not a lot to say about that. There's obviously a shot of Spider-Man with like robot legs. Like, that looks really cool. Obviously getting inspired by Infinity War, or the Spidey, the nano Spidey suit that Tom Holland Spider-Man has. The end of the trailer, Venom, just revealed his face. And from what people can tell too, the voice talking throughout the trailer also hints at Kraven the Hunter. That story is going to be awesome, because those are two incredible, like, Venom, obviously people know that Venom is a great villain. I feel like Kraven is probably a little bit less known, but he's also an incredible villain. I won't speak too much to that because I'm not too much well-versed in comic lore, but from what I've read about Kraven and a little bit of research I did, he's incredible. This was something that people did not expect. After the Spider-Man trailer, Insomniac showed another trailer, and it was of a bar that was ripped apart and a man in a cowboy hat sitting at the bar. And a guy is coming up behind him to stab him with a knife. The man at the bar squeezes his hands and claws come out. Insomniac is making a Wolverine game based on the Marvel character Wolverine. I had some initial concerns about this game for sure, because Spider-Man obviously works, but I was like, how are you going to do Wolverine? He doesn't really have any of the same mobility features that Spider-Man has. But after this, Insomniac came out and said, hey, we're doing this. This is going to be a mature game. It's going to be a mature game with mature tones. It's going to be violent. So I'm like, okay, like, I'm back on board. Not that I just need a violent video game, but I think to do the character Wolverine justice, you need it to be that level of violence. That's kind of what the character is. So we'll be looking for more details on that. We just got a little bit of a teaser trailer, and that's obviously, that and Spider-Man, I don't think are going to be coming for quite a while. It says Spider-Man 2 will be out for the PS5 in 2023. And we don't obviously don't have a release straight date for Wolverine yet, but I would expect that probably after Spider-Man 2 sometime for sure. Insomniac is killing it. I wonder if we're going, this is just something I speculated on, and I'll have to follow up with Tom, but I wonder if we're going to get a Insomniac video game Marvel universe, because I think that would be freaking crazy. And Insomniac has my 100% trust right now. I think they're probably the best developer on the planet right now. They're absolutely killing it. So super excited to see what the guys at Insomniac do with these properties. It's going to be amazing. I think the really big one that we got at the end of this, especially for me, was God of War Ragnarok. We've been waiting for this. We still didn't get a release date, but we got the official reveal of God of War Ragnarok. And this trailer was incredible. The first God of War, and if you go listen to the shout out again, I'm plugging you guys again, the List Off podcast with Brian and Ryan, we recently did a episode on the best video game sequels. And I'm not saying this game shows up. It may or may not have. Definitely go listen to that one for sure. But the first God of War was incredible. And it looks like that they're picking up right where the first story left off. It's going to include Thor. It's going to be a bunch of great characters. They're trying to find Tyr, the Norse god of war. Mimir is back doing Mimir things, everything that a headless being can do. Atreus is older. And he very much says, it's like, hey, like this winter that we're stuck in is leading to Ragnarok. Obviously, this is going to happen. Ragnarok's going to happen in this game. And something that they followed up with after this game, they kind of had they talked to the developers that this is going to conclude the Norse saga. There's not going to be a trilogy. It's going to be God of War and God of War Ragnarok, and this is going to end this Norse saga that's been going on here, which I was a little bit disappointed of because I want more of these games set. This has been great, but at the same time, I can appreciate that because I think the mark of great art is knowing when and how you want to wrap it up and not letting it overstay its welcome. For example, I think the reason Breaking Bad is one of my favorite TV shows of all time is because it's on just long enough to tell the story it wants to tell. It became this huge hit, but Vince Gilligan, yeah. He didn't drag it out any longer than it needed to be. He had a story that he wanted to tell, and he told it in, 40, 50, however many episodes that series ended up being. I think it was only like 50 episodes. And it was some of the most riveting TV that I've ever seen, ever. It's that incredible. So I can appreciate a game like God of War doing this, is they know the story that they want to tell and they're going to wrap it up. And the second reason they brought up for that is, it took them 4 or 5 years to make the first God of War back in 2018. And we're looking at a similar development cycle for this one. So games are just taking longer to make. So it doesn't make sense to have a trilogy of games that take place over 15 years when games are taking 3, 4, 5 years to make. Back in the day, it made a lot more sense. You could pump out, just look at early Grand Theft Auto. They were pumping out GTA games like every year. look at the first three Gears of War were on Xbox 360 and Gears Judgment. And then we've had Gears of War 4 and 5. Gears of War 4 was during the Xbox One lifespan, and Gears 5 was at the end of it and kind of helped usher in the Series X. We had 4 Halo games on Xbox 360. We had 1 Halo game on Xbox One. Games are just taking longer to make. So it doesn't make sense to tell a trilogy story over 15 years if you don't think you can do that. So I respect the team at Santa Monica for saying, hey, this is going to be the second game. It's going to wrap this up, and then we're going to go on to something else. Like, I 100% respect that, and I think that's a great move on their end instead of trying to drag this story out over 15 years, because this is just how long it takes to make these games. It's just what it is. That's how it is nowadays. And I think that's why we're seeing the shift to more of this games as a service type thing, because games just take longer to make. It's easier to make one game, like GTA 5 has shown, and just support it for 10 to 12 years and hope people will pay you and keep making money off of it, than to make these games that take 5 years the way that some of these high-end Sony games do. So we'll see. But God of War Ragnarok looks absolutely incredible. I'm very excited to see that. Shout out to Thick Daddy Thor, though. God damn, that boy looks good. They released a screenshot of Thor, finally, and I think there was some surprise on the internet that he wasn't the ripped Chris Hemsworth Thor, but he was just this big old, had a bit of a belly, big old thick Thor with multiple C's. Like, he was just a big old dude. And people were like, oh, well, that's not peak masculinity. That's not, why is he fat? And it's be like, no, like a lot of people jumped in who are well more versed in Norse mythology than me. It's like, that's what Thor looks like as he's described in the actual Norse myths. He's just, and Thor's very powerful. If you've ever read the stories, that's why he's one of the most powerful characters in the Marvel series, because Thor is very powerful. And one of the things you have to understand is all the ripped dudes you see, you know, you see Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, fucking abs bulging out further than anything I have on my body. And Chris Hemsworth with his huge fucking arms. It's like, that's all for show. That's not what they really look like all the time. So Hugh Jackman had to dehydrate himself for like a week before they shot the X-Men movie so that he would look ripped. He couldn't drink water for like a week. And he had to eat chicken in between sets. Like, that's not realistic. And that's not, back then, that's not what people would have looked like. What real strength looks like is, if you ever watch the World's Strongest Man competitions and see those dudes, they don't have super highly defined muscle. They're just fucking huge dudes. They're just enormous. Like, they're thick. They're big. They're good old thick boys. They're just big. They're huge dudes. And that's what peak male strength looks like. Not this chiseled physique, but just big old brick shithouse dudes that will rip you in half, that can carry 14 refrigerators across a football field, that can pull semis with their bare hands. Just look at the Mountain from Game of Thrones. He was never like well defined. He was just a big dude and he was strong. So I think that's great that they went that direction with Thor. And that's all I'm going to say about it. Thick Thor. God damn, I'm all for it. You look good, my guy. Seriously, don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Don't have a little man crush on Thor. Leave me alone, for sure. Those are really the three biggest things. Then we got a bunch of other stuff during the showcase. We got Tiny Tina's Wonderlands. That looks pretty fun. Definitely more Borderlands. Might check that one out. Project Eve, Uncharted Legacy of Thieves Collection, Rainbow Six Extraction, Forspoken, which looks kind of interesting. It definitely had me intrigued. Forspoken also kind of looked like the Unreal demo that they showed, I think it was last year or something like that, on the PS5. Shout out to our boy Alan Wake is coming back, and that'll be sweet because I've heard and seen Alan Wake, never gotten a chance to play it, so I'll definitely check that out for sure. GTA 5, let's just move on. Ghostwire Tokyo, Deathloop, which is obviously already out, Guardians of the Galaxy, Kid Amnesia Exhibition, don't know what that is, T'Chaya, not sure how to say that, Gran Turismo, which, not a big racing guy, but Gran Turismo looks beautiful, and this is definitely going to be the Forza challenger for PlayStation. They put a lot of work into this game, and Blood Hunt. So that was just a little bit of a taste of the PlayStation showcase. Like I said, I only wanted to talk about the important stuff that was for me, because obviously, everybody has really done great shows already. I'm late to the train for the PlayStation Showcase. It's a month later. You guys don't want to hear any more about it. But that's my take on it a little bit there. Now, let's go to the other big news of the month. And this, to me, was more exciting because you know me, I'm a corporate shill for Nintendo on here. They should just really sponsor the podcast, because all I do is just sing the praises about how great Nintendo is all the time. But Nintendo had a direct, this week. I believe it was on September 23rd. I believe it was on Thursday. We had a lot of interesting announcements for this one. I'm not so sure that there's really a need for a Nintendo Direct. It seemed kind of weird because the two biggest games that people were really expecting was the last Smash Bros. Character reveal and a fall update for Animal Crossing. And they pretty much came out and said, sorry, this Direct is just to tell you to tune in to different Directs we're going to have next month for Animal Crossing and Smash specifically. And I was like, okay, like, you didn't need really to tell me that. But fine, whatever, I guess that's fine. So they're going to reveal the last Smash character on October 5th. Masahiro Sakurai is going to be revealing that character himself, which is understandable because this man has worked on this franchise for the last two decades, and it sounds like he is done after this with this. He wants to move on to something else. So, of course, Masahiro Sakurai is going to reveal the last character. Not quite sure what it's going to be. At this point, it could be anything. I don't know what to expect. It's going to be interesting. And Animal Crossing New Horizons seems to be getting a fairly large update that warrants its own. I don't know if it's a direct. It said it was a direct. It said it was an Animal Crossing direct, essentially. So we'll see what kind of changes get made to that game as well. I think that'll be pretty big. I know Taylor is super excited for that. But let's go over some of the other announcements that were announced, obviously, for lack of a better word, because Eric can't speak, that happened in this direct. And there were some surprises, for sure. Kirby, my boy. If you listen to the show before, you know that I'm a Kirby apologist and that Kirby is probably one of my favorite Nintendo characters ever. So there's a new Kirby coming out called Kirby and the Forgotten Land, and it sends Kirby to like a post-apocalyptic world where it's 3D, and it'll be coming to Switch next spring. Now, if you didn't watch the trailer, you should definitely go watch it, but I got seriously mad Odyssey vibes from this. Like, this feels a lot like Mario Odyssey, and it's in 3D. It's not a side-scrolling Kirby game. When was the last time they tried to do a 3D Kirby game? I don't even remember. Most of them have been side-scrollers. So this is huge. I think this is going to be awesome to have a 3D adventure, a world that you can explore as Kirby, and just considering all the different things that Kirby can do, because he can copy enemies' abilities. You know, you can swallow the sword guy and have sword puzzles. You can put so many things into this game around that mechanic of 3D world. I'm surprised it hasn't really been thought of before. And I bet they probably thought of this because of Mario Odyssey, because in Odyssey, Mario has a similar ability where he can throw Cappy on and then become enemies and use their abilities to get through the level. But in this one, it's obviously reversed because Kirby eats the enemies and then gains their power. So, yeah, this looks absolutely beautiful. I love Kirby. I'm super excited for this. And knowing Kirby games, it probably won't be that challenging. So it'll just be like a nice, relaxing game to play and explore and have fun in. Coming out next spring, that'll be super exciting. I think probably the second biggest announcement for me was that Nintendo is expanding their online services. They're adding a subscription tier, which is going to be more money. But with that tier, they're adding N64 and Sega Genesis games to Switch Online. We kind of felt like this was the case. There have been rumors for months now surrounding them adding Game Boy games. So we knew something was coming. We knew something was in the works. So it was a bit of a surprise for me to come out and see them do N64 and Sega Genesis. Especially Genesis. And I think there's a cruel irony there where, you know, Sega and Nintendo used to be really fierce competitors. There was marketing campaigns against each console by each company back in the 90s, with Sega having the most ridiculous marketing slogan is, you know, Sega does what Nintendo don't. Slam dunk for that marketing team. I hope they got their money off of that. And now Sega's fate is to just have their games and their console be part of Nintendo Switch Online. That's just the ultimate the ultimate kind of flex that Nintendo won. You know, 30 years later, Nintendo ended up winning that little fight. But that's awesome. And I don't know what it is on the Genesis side, but they said with the N64 side, there will be online functionality to play these N64 games with people online, like Mario Kart, like Star Fox 64. That got me super hyped. I've always talked about it'd be sweet if these games they were putting on the Switch Online had online functionality. And now it looks like that tier level, that next subscription tier level, will allow you to do that on the N64. And that's awesome. I think that's really great. I'm super pumped to play Mario Kart 64. I'll probably buy it for the first year. I think online is something like $20 a year right now. So if they bumped it up to like 30 or like maybe even 40 for a year, like that's still more affordable than every other online subscription service you're paying for ever. Game Pass Ultimate's $15. Netflix is like $15 now. So like, shut up. It's $40 for a whole year. Like that's great. That's a fantastic deal. My question is if they can get some of the licensing rights worked out with some of these other N64 games, because if you can, if I was Nintendo, I would be doing everything in my power to get some kind of licensing deal worked out for GoldenEye for 64. If you're going to be putting these games available to play online, why would you not want the most prolific online or prolific multiplayer shooter of its time on your Switch Online to utilize that? That's a no-brainer. I think you got to get that worked out with whoever has the rights to that game. I just think you have to. Same thing with a lot of these other games. I think Pokemon Stadium is another one. That's a no-brainer. I don't think they'd be able to like integrate it with Pokemon Home. That would be way too complicated, because obviously the first two Pokemon Stadiums just had the original 250 or however many Pokemon there were. Now there are like almost 1,000. So you can't be bringing Sword and Shield Pokemon into Pokemon Stadium, even though that would be pretty cool. But there's, you know, I know that the N64 gets some hate sometimes. There are some gems on the N64 that I absolutely love to see on this. And I think this is really great. This is something that's about time that they've been expanding this more. Now give us Game Boy and Game Boy Advance games. Seriously, like, make it happen. Now, I think the two biggest announcements that are probably going to be for people, and I'll have to have Tom speak on one of these more because I don't. We finally got a look at Bayonetta 3. I can't speak too much to this because I was never really a big Bayonetta fan. I didn't play the first two. I've seen them played. They didn't really do anything for me. But I know that this game has a huge following. And for these fans, after 3 or 4 years, however long ago this game got announced, to finally have a look at this game, and it's coming out next year, that's awesome. I'm super excited for you guys. We've been waiting for this game, something from this game for a long time, and they finally delivered it here. So I'm not sure what the story is behind this game, why it's taking so long. The director on Twitter has been taking shots at people and saying, you know, it's coming along fine. There are no problems. You know, it might just be taking a while. Game design takes a while now. It really does. We got new DLC for Monster Hunter Rise, new big expansion coming in summer of 2022 called Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak, with a new monster that nobody has recognized before. I'm relatively new to the Monster Hunter franchise, so I was like, oh, this must be some monster they're bringing back. But everyone on Twitter was like, no, we have no idea what this freaking eagle, dinosaur, dragon looking thing is. Looks absolutely incredible, though. So you know that I'll be diving back into that. Not much more to say on that end. I think the biggest surprise of this Nintendo Direct, man, I'm struggling with this because you guys know what this is going to be. You know what this is going to be. Sorry, I had to take a drink of soda because I'm getting so choked up over it. We got a rare Nintendo Direct appearance from Shigeru Miyamoto. And Mr. Miyamoto comes out looking fly, if I could say so myself. He's got like the Mario shirt on with the sports jacket over it. He's got like the fade haircut where it's kind of like swooshed off to the side. Like, Miyamoto-san, you looking good, like on point. He knew he needed to look good for this Nintendo Direct because his announcement is huge. And he was just out there flexing on everybody. So Miyamoto killing it. You don't look a day over 40. Keep whatever you're doing, it's working. Keep doing your thing, man. But he came out and he announced the cast for the Super Mario movie that's in development with Illumination. And if you've never heard of Illumination, they made Despicable Me, they made Sing, they made Minions. So some movies that are, you know, as much as I hate Minions with an undying passion because of how popular they became, the Despicable Me movies are pretty good. Sing was pretty good. They make quality movies that are well animated. So, of course, they don't want to go with Disney or Pixar or DreamWorks or like a competitor, kind of Nintendo. They're going to go with, you know, Illumination. They're going to go with a non-Disney, non-established animated studio to do this. And they must just like Illumination's style. Because you're not going to go to Disney, who has some of the biggest properties that kind of competes with you in that space. You're just not going to. So Illumination makes sense. But the casts, man, I don't know how to feel about this because, first of all, I don't know how you make a Mario movie because Mario is mostly a silent protagonist except for little snippets that he does in his wahoos and his yahas and jumping all over the place. And this is your chance, if you haven't watched the director, haven't heard anything, and you want to watch it yourself, this is your chance for spoilers, so turn back now. They announce the cast for the Super Mario movie. Pretty star-studded for what it is. To play Mario, the actor that is playing Mario is Chris Pratt. I don't know how I feel about this. Actually, I do know how I feel about this. I kind of hate it. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy Chris Pratt. I think he's a fine actor. Obviously, his personal beliefs. He's got some stuff they said on Twitter that made some people mad, whatever. And obviously, because he punched Thanos in the face, he got half the universe erased. But, you know, that's besides the point. I've generally enjoyed most things Chris Pratt has done. I thought he was great on Parks and Rec. He plays a good Star-Lord. He was good in the Lego movies. I haven't really had any problems with Chris Pratt in any of his roles. But man, he's not Mario. I don't see that at all. That's how do you not have the man who's voiced Mario in over 150 games, Charles Martinet, be Mario? That's just mind-blowing to me. I don't get it. I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to get star power to lend this movie some credibility. I don't think you need to do that, though, because Mario is probably one of the most popular things in the entire world. Like, kids can identify Mario easier than Mickey Mouse sometimes. It's unbelievable how popular Mario is. And I understand they're trying to leverage star power for this movie and get people excited about it, but man, I just hear quippy Star-Lord dialogue in my head. I hear annoying Emmett from Lego movies dialogue in my head. I hope it's great. I hope it comes out and people are excited and it's a great movie, and I hope Chris Pratt blows it out of the water because Mario's a character that is larger than most people. that was hard. When I saw it, I just wasn't excited. I was just like, why? Why is this a thing? Why Chris Pratt? That's just was my first knee-jerk reaction to it. It was, why Chris Pratt? I still haven't thought of a good answer for you. But obviously, Shigeru Miyamoto trusts whatever they're doing with his baby. So I'll take their word for it. We got a couple other castings. Charlie Day's Luigi, I actually like that a lot. I think that's a great casting, just based on kind of Charlie's demeanor and Luigi's demeanor and just the character he plays, especially in It's Always Sunny. I like that casting. I think that's a good one. Jack Black as Bowser, again, I'm fine with that casting. I think as far as like genuine human beings are concerned that are famous and deserve to be famous, Jack Black is definitely one of those, whether or not he annoys you. He's just an all-around like great guy from the things you read about him, and he likes to have fun, and that's what he does, and he's just a genuinely good human being. And I've liked pretty much everything that he's done, from Jumanji to School of Rock to even Brutal Legends. I enjoyed that he voiced, and even Tenacious D, his music he writes is fun and pretty good. So I don't have a problem with that. It'll be interesting to see his take on Bowser, just because you're used to Bowser sounding a certain way. It would be great. Anna Taylor-Joy as Peach, again, I think that's a pretty good casting. From what people have told me, they think that she's really good for that role. And then there were just a couple other ones in there, too. Seth Rogen's going to play Donkey Kong, which, okay, sure, that's fine. I don't like it that much, but it's fine. I don't know why Donkey Kong's going to be in the Mario movie, but they're going to put as many recognizable characters in this game that you can recognize, that you can. I'm sorry, I'm still just flabbergasted about the Chris Pratt thing. It blows my mind. Keegan-Michael Key is going to be Toad, and I think that's fucking amazing. I think that's a perfect character for him to play. That's absolutely incredible. That that alone might make me go see the movie. I hope they give Toad a ton of screen time, because Keegan-Michael Key will absolutely, everything that man does, is he does it fantastically. Fred Armisen is going to be Cranky Kong, which that is incredible. And Charles Martinet will appear in the film for surprise cameos. So that'll be interesting. I wonder if he'll do maybe like a Wario or something like that. I don't know. We'll have to see. So, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this. Most of the casting is fine. I can live with it. Just Chris Pratt as Mario just kind of, when that was announced, it was like, what? It just kind of sucked all the air out of the room. And it just kind of, my first shock reaction was, oh. It was very, very surprising, to be sure. So, I believe that was probably the reason, main reason for the Nintendo showcase was, or the Nintendo Direct was to announce the cast for the Mario movie. That seemed like it was the big moment. Along with, we got some Splatoon 3. I won't talk much about that because I'm not familiar with the Splatoon franchise, and obviously Bayonetta 3. Those are the couple big ones too. I'm sure when Tom comes on, he'll want to put his two cents in about those because he knows more about those franchises than I do. A couple of things that I was disappointed at that we didn't get to see is, one especially, didn't show Advance Wars. Like, seriously, F you Nintendo, show Advance Wars. People are excited for that game and you're not promoting it. And if it fails and it dies, it's your fault. People are excited for this game, so show us more Advance Wars. Like, seriously, saying that through gritted teeth. We want it. Make it happen. Got some more Metroid. Metroid looks incredible. Metroid Dread. They really upped the ante, I feel, with that game. Samus looks like she's more mobile than ever. She's got more tools at her disposal than ever. They've really taken the things that people have done with the Metroidvania franchise over the last 10 years or so and tried to incorporate that to Metroid while making it still feel like Metroid, which is good because Metroidvanias have been incredible the last 10 years, especially Hollow Knight and Ori come to mind. Those two games specifically have really pushed the ante of what Metroidvania, or pushed the envelope of what up the ante, push the ante. I'm just combining phrases now of what a Metroidvania can be. So definitely super stoked for that. Got the Castlevania Game Boy Advance collection that launched. That was awesome. So I feel like this Direct had a little bit of something for everybody. If you were looking for something, there was something for you to definitely be excited about. But like I said, there was no, obviously no Smash was disappointing. No Advance Wars was disappointing. Triangle Strategy, which apparently they ran out of money in development and dropped the project from. So now it's just Triangle Strategy. Somebody pointed out that a company called Square is making a game about triangles, which is a little bit confusing, but that's okay because that game is shaping up to be really good. It's the same team that made Octopath. So, and I just finished Octopath Traveler and that was a great game. So I probably will definitely pick up Triangle Strategy. Be on the lookout for Parallelogram Quest developed, you know, in a couple years from now. So there's definitely something for everybody. KOTOR, the original KOTOR, is going to be on Switch, which that's really going to be awesome. A Square Enix Chocobo Grand Prix racing game, which looks weird, but sure. So there's definitely something in there for everybody. And I think that's definitely good. So that's your Nintendo Direct. Like I said, I'm generally not going to shit talk a lot of things on here. Most of the things I'm talking about, I'm an optimist. I like to be excited for things until I'm proven wrong. In which case, then I will just destroy whatever you disappoint me with unrelenting fire from the sky. I don't know, but that is pretty much my quick snapshot thoughts on the Nintendo Direct and the PlayStation Showcase. I'm rushing a little bit here just because I have to get over to my dad's house. He's cooking ribs and we're going to watch the Bears game. So I'm super pumped for that. But just kind of wrap things up, I just wanted to say again, I really appreciate you guys getting us to 1,000 listens. That's incredible. And we wouldn't still be here doing it if it wasn't for you guys. It leaves me speechless sometimes to think about just the amount of good people that there are in the world. Because all you do is just hear the hate. And the hated voices are the ones that are often most amplified. But the people that I've met doing this are some of the most amazing and genuine people that I've ever met. And I'd like to shout out a few of them here for sure. I got to give a special shout out to Keith from the Main Quest podcast. He was really the first person really to kind of follow us on Instagram and kind of reach out to me and say, hey, I listen to your show. And it's pretty good. And we've become pretty good friends over the past year. A genuine admiration and respect for each other's shows. And he's really been a kind of a sounding board for a lot of the ideas that I've had, or just random topics or things that I like to talk about. Or even when I try to talk about things I don't know about, his wealth of knowledge about every era of video gaming is very vast. So thank you, Keith. I really appreciate the support and just, you know, just being able to chat with you. Brian and Ryan from the List Off podcast. I found their show a little bit after I found Keith's show. Man, I had the privilege and honor to go on that show last week, like I said. And don't ever knock people that I know it's kind of like a joke, like, oh, like top 10 lists, blah, 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 BuzzFeed, whatever. Dude, doing a top 10 list is hard. Like, seriously, I went on and just did a top 5 list of video game sequels, and I stressed about that for 2 months. I knew I was going to be on the show for 2 months, and I changed my list probably 40 to 50 times. So to be able to come up with a different top 10 list and different games for that list every week is an unbelievable feat of intelligence and planning. And it's such a great show, and it's a great format. And the thing I love about Brian and Ryan is, on their show, they don't take just what the popular opinion is. They don't say like, oh, Ocarina of Time is regarded as the number one thing, so we're going to have it as the number one thing every time we discuss something that could be related to Ocarina. It's like, no, they take games that have a lot of meaning to themselves and put them in those top places. And I think that's what it should be. I don't want to listen to your show if you're just doing a top 10 of like what the public regards as like generally the best games of all time. Like, tell me why you love a game or why you don't like a game. I'm listening for that personal connection. And Brian and Ryan have that in their show. It's so incredible. The work and the effort that go into that show. So I would definitely listen to them as well. Then we have Jared, Kai and Ben at the Play Along podcast. They've been an amazing group of friends as well. Jared and I have a love together of Pokemon, and Ben and I have had some really good conversations on Twitter about just different things happening in the video game industry and different games. Those guys have, obviously, if you haven't listened to the Play Along podcast, you definitely should. They go through a game a couple chapters at a time. They build as a book club style podcast where they're playing video games and talking about them. And that's amazing. It's such an amazing way to break down a game. It's when you think about it, you're just like, oh, why didn't I think about that? Because that's such a great idea. And they break it down really eloquently, and they touch on pretty much every part of a game that they play. A lot of effort goes into that show, I can tell, because they're doing research, they're playing the game, they're trying to come at it from every angle. And the three of them just have a really great, they play off of each other really well. So if you haven't listened to the Play Along podcast, you definitely should do that. Sorry, I got a text message from my daddy saying food is ready. So definitely Play Along podcast as well. I'm running out of time, and I feel bad that I'm not going to be able to give everybody that I want to the time. But I want to. I have to shout out Willie and Ginger at the Grinder Prettians Play Video Games. They have an amazing show every week where they talk about beer, they talk about life, they talk about games. Two of the most genuine, amazing people that I've met doing this. You guys are incredible. Shout out to, I know there's more people missing, and I'm freezing up now for sure, because now I have to think about things under pressure, and now I am freezing up. Oh, man, I'm forgetting everybody's names too. If you haven't listened to the Glitch Cube podcast, you should go listen to those guys. They are an amazing duo that talk about literally everything you want to know about games, from old consoles to concepts of game design to specific games that you might not have heard of that you should heard of. That's been a show that's been a great inspiration to me as I've been looking for different topics to talk about. Toby and Goobs from the Secret Level podcast, they have such an amazing format and hilarious show. You know, and they've really taught me a lot about retro games that I didn't really know anything about. Same thing with Chris Copeland and the crew over at Retro Hangover Podcast. They've been amazing as well. I got to shout out the incredible Morgan Remington, the captain of the Intergalactic Pinecone, flying over us, beaming us knowledge, and from his spacecraft up in the sky, trying to save humanity. From a pine cone that he turned into a spaceship, which is a really impressive feat of engineering now that I really think about it. Absolutely incredible. He has an amazing show as well. It's slice of life, slice of nerd culture, everything you can want. The stream of consciousness. It's absolutely incredible. There, guys, there are just so many shows that I listen to. Brian and John, All Day I Play Radio. Those guys bring the energy every single week, the enthusiasm about the games that they play. And that inspires me to try and bring a level of enthusiasm to my show that I don't think I ever could have otherwise. There's just so many shows, guys, that I've listened to that I've had the pleasure of listening to. Part-Time Players Podcast. Got a shout out to those guys. They have kept me in the loop. They break down all the news every week, and they've kept me in the loop of what's happening in gaming, even when I haven't been able to stay in the loop with how busy I've been. So, Part-Time Players, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much. Like I said, I'm forgetting everybody's names. I normally know everybody's names, but I'm just under so much pressure and I'm kind of freaking out and just a little bit emotional talking about everything. But yeah, definitely Part-Time Players Podcast. Can't forget Dan Tendo and Nick Tendo from What the Famicom. One of the most creative shows I've ever listened to. Every episode is such a unique topic. Their cover art is always incredible. They had, you know, I just can't even. Their cover art, their episode names, the topics they talk about, the comedy, just you never know what you're going to get from week to week with What the Famicom. And they bring it every time. It's absolutely incredible and just hilarious and funny. And I chuckle just thinking about it. And there have been a lot more that I've listened to over this past year too, people that have shouted us out and helped us. DJ Games on Twitter, he shouts out our episodes all the time, listens to us and gives us encouragement, as does Gokai Fire. He's given me, you know, he talks to me about a lot of things and a lot of topics, and we're both very excited for Advance Wars as well. You know, Jeff and Nathan from Backlog and Beyond, I know that show's not on anymore, but that was a big part of it. Is another big influence on my show of trying to do the best that I can. There's too many to name. And if I haven't named you guys, don't think that I don't listen to your show or anything like that. Like, there are so many that I've listened to that have had an influence on me that I haven't been able to name. And I just want to thank you guys for everything that you've said, for all the words of encouragement, for sticking with us through this adventure that a couple times didn't look like it was ever gonna make it. And I'm just looking at my messages here just so I can make sure I didn't forget anybody. The guys over at Pixel Project Radio, they have a super smart show. Every topic that they talk about is a super intelligent discussion about everything that they play or music. The music episode was incredible, broken down by people who actually know about music. That's absolutely amazing. Josh over at the Still Loading Podcast, he's given me a ton of advice. I've asked him several times about just different things about podcasting, and he's given me advice and encouragement and just, you know, encouraging me to whatever I think I should do. If it's something I want to do for the show, just go for it. Who else on here? I know there's been quite a few. The guys over at Quit the Build, and they start the Quit the Build Network. They've been awesome. Deleted Saves Podcast, who just has incredible short little digestible episodes on great retro games, is absolutely incredible. The guys over at the good, the bad, and the backlog, who have given me really good constructive criticism on how I can improve the show. Culture Popped with Hunter Bishop. Those guys have been awesome. As a show that I regularly interact with on the internet, because they have really, really great points. The guys over at the Tepid Take Podcast, again, another show that's across the pond from us, that just such good energy. Those guys are just laughing and having fun and talking about what's going on, everything. Potation Rotation, the GameCube pod, New Dad Gaming, Milo over at Ready Player Lift. Just there's so many guys that I would obviously give you guys hours and hours and hours of just talking about your guys' shows on my show. But thank you guys so much. It's been humbling, and it's been a great experience to get to know some of you. To know all of you. I haven't really had any problem. I'm like Bilbo in Lord of the Rings, where it's like, I know less than half of you half as well as I should like, and I like less than half of you half as well as you deserve. So, but thank you guys so much. I know I've probably said thank you like a million times in this episode, but the Yeah, thank you. And I hope you stick around for the next 1,000. I hope that we continue to all grow and do great things together. So if you want to find us on the air, you can find me on Twitter, or not on the air, on the internet. Yeah, you can find me at The One True Sire. That's my Twitter account. We also have Pod SideQuest, which is the Twitter account for the show. You can find Tom at RedRival26 on Twitter. Also on Twitch, RedRival20, or twitch.tv/RedRival26, I believe it is. And then on Instagram, you can just follow us on SideQuesting Podcast. And obviously, these are available wherever podcasts are found. Spotify is the main one I promote just because I use Anchor. But we're obviously on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, a bunch of other ones, iHeartRadio, just pretty much anywhere that you want to listen to us, you can find us. And if you can't, shoot me a message and let me know. I will put it up wherever you want me to, because you should be able to listen to your podcasts wherever you want. This is a great episode, guys. I look forward to doing the next 35 for you guys. We're coming up on 1 year. It's been awesome so far. So thank you for coming along on this crazy ride with us and growing with us and living with us and all this stuff. It's been absolutely incredible. I hope that we're around for another 5 to 10 years. Keep doing this with all of you and keep pushing yourselves to keep doing the best you can every day. My name's Eric, and you've been listening to the SideQuesting Podcast.